Brother Greer passing out some of the outlines for next week. If you do not have an outline for next week, if you'd raise your hand, we'll get one passed out to you real quickly, okay? This is for next week. Okay, we've got a couple up here. Okay, this is Zechariah part 2 is what is passing out now. And if you don't have a copy of it, raise your hand. Okay. Hands up over here. Okay. Everybody got one now. There we go. Okay, Zechariah, we have reached the final minor prophet that we're going to study. That's Zechariah. Now, remember, last week we skipped over him because Haggai was one chapter, and then we went over to Malachi, which was actually four chapters, but the last chapter, chapter 4, was very, very short, so we could combine those. Now, Zechariah is actually one of the longest of the minor prophets. It's 14 chapters, and so what we're looking at this week is the first 6 chapters, and then we'll have 8 chapters next week on that outline, and you say, well, why? Well, there's a natural division between chapter 6 and 7. The first 6 chapters consist of 8 visions that Zechariah has, supplied by God. Now, these were not just dreamed up, visions from God that he had. Then the visions stop at the end of chapter 6, and then from chapter 7 onward, we're basically going to be looking at things to come, you know, the present in Jerusalem, and looking way ahead as a matter of fact, when we get to next week, and I don't want to take away next week's lesson, but in 3 chapters next week, the term "in that day" is mentioned 17 times, which tells you we're looking at a day to come, and it will be pretty clear what it was. And then that's going to wind us up with the prophets. And then the following week, so that'll be next week, we'll finish Zechariah, hopefully. And then the following week, what I'm going to do is we're going to pass out a synopsis. We're going to have all 12 of the minor prophets just with a little synopsis. And then I'm going to have a question. What did we get from this minor prophet? Okay? And so, and that'll be something for us and particularly me to keep. So if I forget, well, what was Habakkuk about? I can pick it up and say, oh, yeah, I remember now. Because like I say, when we started, I was very familiar with Jonah. And that was about the extent of the minor prophets. I don't know why we do that, but somehow I think the word minor scares us. You know, this prophet is just minor. You know? So anyway, well, hopefully we found out, no, there's nothing minor about them. All right, let's look at Zechariah here just a little bit. Zechariah, now then here's something interesting. You know, we said that last week when we were talking about Haggai, that he was in Jerusalem at the time that, you know, they've come back. They've come back from, or a remnant has come back from Babylon, from being captive for some 70 years. And now then, does anyone recall what, Haggai, now this is from God. God was upset about something. Do you recall what it was? They're back, coming back to Jerusalem. God was upset with them. For what reason? Yes, you're building your houses, you're taking care of yourself, and my temple is still like my house. My temple is still lying there in ruin. So that was Haggai, all right? And he addressed that by God, supplied by God. And remember, when we're talking Haggai, any of these, it's not their words. They are prophets being supplied, being told what to say. The visions that we're going to talk about in Zechariah, they're not Zechariah's visions. They are what God provides Zechariah. And the good thing about these visions, you know, Daniel had some visions. In Revelation, there's some vision. In Zechariah, most of the visions, he said, well, what does that mean? And the angel said, oh, well, I'll tell you what it means. So we can fairly well tell what some of these visions are, you know, and exactly what they mean. All right, President of Jerusalem, he was there when Haggai was there. Ezra wasn't too far removed, so he was in good company here, but he was actually in Jerusalem with Haggai some 2 years, a little bit two years later. All right, the exiles are now returning from captivity in Babylon. The temple was being rebuilt. Remember, Haggai was pushing that, and it seemed to be working. It was being rebuilt. The first part of the book contains 8 visions that Zechariah sees that are visions from God and presented with an angel speaking for God. All right, so we got to try to imagine this. You've got Zechariah, an angel speaks to Zechariah in the first in the visions, telling them what God says to tell you, what this vision is, what does it mean. He saw the vision, and he said, what does this mean? You know, what could this mean? The angel then tells him what it means and what the message is from God. So we're going to be looking at some of those. All right, now then, if you look at the date of this book, you know, it's again, this is one of the few books we just about know when it was written. It was the second year, 8 months of the second year of Darius's reign. Therefore, I said two years, I meant 2 months. After Haggai began his, now then, here comes Zechariah, and he's going to start his book. The book of Zechariah starts about 2 months after Haggai. So anyway, here we go. Chapter 1, verse 1. This is a date. In the 8th month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, the Lord has been very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Now then, if you notice in a lot of the minor prophets we studied, there's something there, and it sounds very familiar. What has God always said? If you will do what, I will do what? If you'll return to me, I'll return to you. If you'll repent, I will forgive you. If you will do this, I will bless you. There's always that if there. If you will do this, then here's what I will do. And God never failed to keep his promise. And it was always there. But anyway, what he's saying about some of the fathers is, somebody read verse 4 and let's talk about it and see, is this possible today? Zechariah chapter 1, verse 4. Somebody read that and let's discuss that a minute. All right?
Do not be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets preached, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, and they turn now from your evil ways and your evil deeds, but they did not hear or heed me, says the Lord.
Oh, okay. Now, wait a minute. What's the problem there? God told them, but what was the problem? They weren't listening to him. They wouldn't listen to God. Not only would they not hear him, they wouldn't heed him. Now then, here's the question. This is 2018, okay? Long past this. Do you think that still goes on today?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It still goes on. Even as we've said before, now then, it has made its way even into the Lord's church, where we are becoming hard-headed or stubborn about listening to something what God says. You know, God's word is not really that complicated, is it? But yet, sometimes we don't want to listen to it because it interferes with what we want to do. I think that's what Haggai, you know, we want to build our house and not God's house. And that's what Haggai's, that's what God's complaint was last week with the book of Haggai. You're wanting to take care of yourself and not take care of me. I think sometimes I want to please myself, and what God wants me to do may not be as pleasing to me personally, so I will elect to do what I want to do. Now then, the ultimate result of that, listen to verse 5. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? Yet surely my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets, did they overtake your fathers? So they returned and said, just as the Lord of hosts determined to do to us according to our ways and according to our deeds, so he has dealt with us. Where have they been for these 70 years? What happened to them? Captivity. Babylon. Why? Why would God let his people be taken captive by these Babylonians, by Nebuchadnezzar and his group of people who treated them somewhat badly? Why would God allow that to happen? They wouldn't listen to him. Okay? What's going to happen to us today if we don't listen to him? It's not bad. Unfortunately, it's far, you know, Babylon lasted, what, 70 years. If we don't listen to them, or even ultimately, it's going to be far worse. It's not going to be for 70, it's going to be for an eternity. So our responsibility today is to listen to God and heed what he says. You know, it's one thing. What's the difference between listening and heeding? Absolutely. I can listen. Oh, yes, God, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're telling me, God, to do this. I heard someone say one time, and this just blew my mind. Well, I know what it says, but I'm not going to do that. So did I listen? Yes, I heard what it said. Did I heed it? No, you know, because I don't want to do that. Or I think there's a better way, you know. I think I know what God says, but I think God will actually like this better. Okay. All right. Comments on that before we go on. All right. Let's get down to the first of the eight visions. All right. Now this is verse 7. We're on the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month of Shebat in the second year of Darius. So let's see, if he came here on the eighth month, now then, this is the 11th month. So this is some 3 months after he gets there. Now he's already been in communications here, but now he's going to see a vision. And this is the first vision, which is a month in the second year of Darius. The word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the son of Bered, the son of prophet. I saw by night, and behold, a man riding on a red horse, and it stood among the myrtle trees in the hollow, and behind him were horses red, sorrel, and white. Then I said, my Lord, what are these? So the angel who talked with me said to me, I will show you what they are. So now then, this is a little bit different from Daniel and maybe even Revelation, because when I said, what are these? Okay, I'm going to tell you what they are. And here's what they are. These are the ones whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro throughout the earth. These are the ones that are checking on the earth. They're going to be going to and fro throughout the earth. So they answered the angel of the Lord who stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro throughout the earth, and behold, all the earth is resting quietly. Now then, that sounds good to it. Hey, we've got good news for you. All the earth is resting quietly. But yet that didn't make God happy. Why? God was not pleased with that response. All right? Somebody now read verse 14 and 15. Here you go. Somebody read verses 14 and 15 of chapter 1. Because that sounds good. How's the earth doing? Oh, they're resting quietly. Well, that's good. God said, no, it's not. Okay, somebody read verses 14 and 15. Okay, all right. So now here's the problem. The nations are ready. They're seeing how my people are being treated, but yet they don't care. You know, they are, the world's at rest. Everything's peaceful. Wait a minute. My people have been in captivity. Now then, look what he says about, he said, I was angry a little bit, and they helped me, that being the Babylonian. You know, God always uses, or has always used, some force to carry out his will. I don't suppose the Babylonians even had any indication that God was behind this whole thing. This was what God, you remember we studied one of the minor prophets some 100 years prior to this that said Babylon will capture Jerusalem. So this was prophesied long ago. I doubt that the Babylonians had, that Nebuchadnezzar was probably clueless that what he was doing was God's will. And God says, I was a little angry, so therefore they helped me, but with evil intent. Now what God was not pleased with was the treatment that the Babylonians gave his people after captivity. And then the world around observed this, and they're resting, they're at peace. You know, why are we not, say, agitated today when we see cruelty in some parts of the world, but yet we're at peace, you know, and it does not affect us? He said, you're seeing my people treated this way, but you're at rest. So God's not pleased. As pleasantly as it might sound to us, God was not happy with it. All right? Now then, that's vision one. That's vision one. So the one of them came back and said, hey, we got some good news for you. The world's at rest. And God says, no, that's not good news. All right? That's not good news. All right? Question for us. Is it possible for us to be too much at rest? Could God say, and I'll just bring this down to the local level, although it can be anywhere, could it say, got news for you, God, got good news, North Hamilton is at rest. Would that be good news to God? What's wrong with that? Hey, we're very comfortable. Do what? Yes, like we're not doing anything. We're at rest. I'm not concerned about these people that are lost and dying and going to spend an eternity in the devil. That doesn't concern me. I'm at rest. All right? Now, if you notice, that's exactly what concerned God when the nations around were at rest. They were not concerned about what was going on with his people. All right? So, sure, it's possible for us to do the same thing today. All right. That's vision one. Let's get on to vision two now. All right. Now then, vision two is four horns. This is in verses 18 through 21. Now this is pretty clear. Somebody read 18 through 21. This is the second vision. And this one, I don't think we've got to put too much interpretation on, because he's pretty clear about what this is. Chapter 1, 18 through 21.
Looked, and there were four horns. And I said to the angel who talked with me, what are these? So he answered me, these are the horns that I have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Then the Lord showed me four craftsmen, and I said, what are these coming to do? So he said, these are the horns that scattered Judah, so that no one could lift up his head. But the craftsmen are coming to terrify them, to cast out the horns of the nations that lift up their horn against the land of Judah, the scattered.
All right, so now then, that's pretty good explanation. Well, now here's the vision. I see four horns. What are those? Those are the horns that represents the countries that have scattered Judah. All right, so now I understand what the four horns are. Okay, here's some craftsmen. What are they going to do? They're going to destroy these four horns. They're going to take care of these four horns. And you think about the four horns, we have Assyria, who originally took away the northern kingdom. We have the Persians, who then took over for the Assyrians. We have Babylon, the Mede Empire. We have Egypt, who also took some captives down there. So we've got these people around, and God said, the four horns, this is what they represent. The craftsmen, they're going to take care. They will, in the future, you know, they're going to take care of these four horns. You know, they're going to, how does the New King James, to cast out the horns of the nations that lifted up their horn against the land of Judah to scatter it. All right? That's vision two. All right. Any comments on vision two? All right. Let's get on down here now to vision three. Vision three is going to be in chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, all right? Then I raised my eyes and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. We're going to measure something here. So I said, where are you going? And he said to me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is its width and what is its length. And there was an angel who talked with me going out, and another angel was coming out to meet him, who said to him, run, speak to the young man, saying, Jerusalem shall not be inhabited as towns without walls, because of the multitude and men and livestock in it. For I say the Lord will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. Up, up, flee from the land to the north, says the Lord, for I have spread you abroad like the four winds of heaven, says the Lord. Up, Zion, escape, you who dwell with the daughter of Babylon, for thus says the Lord of hosts, he sent me after glory to other nations which plunder you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. For surely I will shake my hand against them, and they shall become spoil for their servants, and you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. All right, so now then, we're measuring Jerusalem. And what instructions do we receive? Well, you know, I'm going to measure Jerusalem. Now, what am I told? Don't measure it. Don't measure it. Now then, here's something else that we're going to find out in Zechariah. When you mention the word Jerusalem, sometimes it is specifically the city of Jerusalem. Other times it is, as Revelation says, the new Jerusalem. We're talking about something to come. Okay, now Jerusalem we know was measured, and we know Jerusalem had walls. All right? Because when the Romans invaded, one of the things they did was knock down one of the walls. Jerusalem had walls. But this Jerusalem, he said, we won't need walls here because God's going to protect it. All right? Now, what Jerusalem does God protect that does not need walls? All right? That's the Lord's people. That's where the Lord's people. Where do they gather? In the Lord's church. All right? So now that's protected by God. All right? He's got walls around it. Okay, now then, just as sometimes the walls of the cities were penetrated, unfortunately, sometimes we have penetration into the Lord's New Jerusalem. All right? So that's what he's saying here. This Jerusalem is not going to need walls. You know, God will be the walls about it. That's vision two. There again, he sees something. He says, what is it? And now he's told, this is what it is. All right, that is vision three. Any questions on vision three? Hey, look at somebody, verses 6 through 13 in chapter 2. Kind of interesting there. There's some things there. Up Zion, I'm going to start in verse 7. Escape you who dwell with the daughter of Babylon, for thus says the Lord of hosts, he sent me after glory to the nations which plunder, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. That's how God viewed his children, the apple of his eye. For surely I will shake my hand against them, and they shall become spoil for their servants. Verse 8, verse 10, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst, says the Lord. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people. What is he talking about here? Now, wait a minute, Lord. You're talking about your people here, the Jews, returning to Jerusalem, and now all of a sudden you're talking about people of all nations going to be joined together and be my people. When's that going to happen? When did it happen? Day of Pentecost. Okay? Day of Pentecost. Remember, and it spread from there. Remember the day of Pentecost, there was people from all nations there. Okay? But then, and so for a Jewish religious feast, for a Jewish religious rite, then it spread from there to all nations of the world. So obviously, now we're switching tone just a little bit. In that day, you know, sing and rejoice, for I am coming, I will dwell in your midst. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day. In that day, look for that term. If you ever read the book of Zechariah, look for that term, in that day. It just repeated over and over and over. And I said next week, three chapters is repeated 17 times. In that day. So Zechariah deals with the present, deals with the immediate future, and looks way ahead at something in that day. All right, and the Lord will take possession of Judah as his inheritance in the Holy Land and will again choose Jerusalem. Be silent, all flesh. Be silent, all flesh, for he is aroused from his holy habitation. And so that's what's going to happen, okay? There's going to be a day in that day. All right, that is vision number 3, all right? Let's go on to vision number 4. Chapter 3, kind of interesting here. Chapter 3, vision number 4. This is what he sees. All right. So the angel who talked with me, somebody get ready to start reading about verse 2. So the angel who talked with me came back, wakened me as a man who is waking out of his sleep, and he said to me, "What do you see?" So now then, somebody answer for him. What did he see? Starting in verse 2. Okay, I just told you to read the wrong thing. Okay, let's back up to chapter 3. Let's try that. This is a redo, in case you wonder, okay? Yeah, this is a redo. Chapter 3, okay? Show me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing on his right hand to oppose him. Okay, somebody start there in verse 2. If you do that, tell me verse 2. Verse 2, 3, and 4, okay? Okay, so now then, let's think about this a minute. So now, Joshua is a priest. He is the religious. He's the priest. Now then, how is he clothed? Filthy clothes. Indicating what about the priesthood? You remember even in Haggai we had problems with the priest, and we've had priests all back through the minor prophets. We had problems with priests. In other words, I guess we could say, figuratively, they were dressed in filthy clothes. Now then, what is God going to do to Joshua here, the priest here? How does he change him? Took away his iniquity. Dress him in clean clothing, clean turban, you know. Purify him. So now then, as they return to Jerusalem, Joshua, the religious leader, is now pure. He's not one of the old ilk who went their own way, preached false teaching. You recall one we even said they would teach for money. You know, if you gave me money, then I will perform my duties as a priest. Joshua's not of that. So God purified him. God did away with that old and said, now then, this is a fresh start. This is a new day. You know, as we look ahead, we know it didn't last forever. We're going to get to that next week. God could see in the future that this was not going to last. But right now, in Jerusalem, it's pure. Joshua is pure. All right, so he's purified him. That is vision number, I've lost my vision count here. All right, 4. All right, now then, Joshua's cleaned by God. Let's go to vision number 5. Vision number 5 is now in chapter 4. And there again, he sees a vision. Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me. This is what I read a while ago. And he said to me, "What do you see?" So I said, "I'm looking, and there's a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, 7 lamps with 7 pipes to the 7 lamps." Okay? 2 olive trees are by it, one on the right and one on the left. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" Now, somebody read, if you don't mind, verse 5 and 6, okay? Okay, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth a capstone with shouts of grace. Moreover, the hands of Zerubbabel. Now, this is God. This is God. You know, he's on his lampstand. Now, there's some figurative language here. With a bowl on top of it, and on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes. Okay, so now that we're going to get a little bit of application here, just a little bit. What he's going to say is, what are these two olive? Okay, now what are the lamps there? Those are eyes of God. He's seeing everywhere. Everywhere. There's nothing that's invisible from God. And so then finally he asks down in verse 11, what are the two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and to its left? And I answered, Father, what are these two olive branches that dip into the receptacle of the golden pipes? The answer, do you not know what they are? And I said, no, my Lord. These are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord. Who are the anointed ones right now in Jerusalem? Zerubbabel and Joshua. So God is seeing out from Jerusalem. He has his people in place, Zerubbabel, the governor, Joshua, the priest, and that's the vision he's seeing. God is seeing everything. Jerusalem, if Jerusalem could have only remained as it is right now, you know, you wonder how would history have been changed? But next week we're going to see God looks ahead and says it's not going to stay that way. I know it. And we make preparation for that. Okay, that is vision 5. Now vision 6 is interesting. Vision 6 he sees in chapter 5. Here's vision 6. Then I turned and raised my eyes and I saw a flying scroll. What do you see? So I answered, well, I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits and its width 10 cubits. Then he said to me, this is a curse that goes out over the face of the whole earth. Every thief shall be expelled according to this side. So apparently on this side of the scroll addresses thievery. Now then, every thief's going to be expelled according to this side of the scroll, and every perjurer, liar, those that spread untruth about the fellow man or whatever, it's on the other side, they're going to be expelled according to that side of it. So now the most commentators said this represents sin, you know, two specific ones mentioned here, but this indicates sin is going to be done away with. Where? In the New Jerusalem. Will it be present? No, it will not be there. All right? So now that's vision, that's the next vision. So now then that is we're about to get vision 8. That was 7, and now we got to get the woman in the basket first. All right. Look at verses 5 through 11 there. All right. Then the angel who talked with me came out and said to me, lift your eyes now. What is this that goes forth? So I said, what is it? And he says, it's a basket. All right. Zechariah should have recognized it, that it's going forth. This is their resemblance throughout the earth. Throughout the earth, this is what it's going to be like. Here is a lead disc lifted up, and this is a woman sitting inside the basket. So then he said, this is wickedness. And he thrust her down into the basket and threw the lead cover over its mouth. All right, so now then, here's what's going to happen. Let's visualize it. We got this. We got this disc, okay? And inside there sits this bowl. Inside it sits a woman. We take this lead cover, trap her in there. So she's trapped. She can't get out. All right, so now, and then I raised my eyes and looked. There were two women crossing with a wind in their wings. They had wings like the wings of a stork. They lifted up the basket between earth and heaven. So I said to the angel who talked with me, where are they carrying that basket? And he said to me, to build a house for it in the land of Shinar. When it is ready, the basket will be set there on its base. So what are they? Okay, now if this is wickedness, if we're in Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, wherever it, whichever one it refers to, and this woman of that represents wickedness is placed in this basket, lead, put on, she can't get out, and we're going to pick her up and move her. What message is there? Where's sin going?
Babylon.
It's leaving. Yeah, Babylon. It's leaving. It's going to the land of Shinar. We're going to get it out of here. There will be no wickedness present here. This woman is wickedness. She's in a basket. The lead put on, she can't get out. They pick it up, they're going to move it out. It no longer exists. It will not exist where either in the Jerusalem now or in the Jerusalem to come. And there again, next week further amplifies that. All right, we're just about through the vision here. All right, that is, let's skip down to Vision 8. Because I got a question about Vision 8. Now something here I don't understand. Vision 8, this is chapter 6, Vision 8. Okay, let's go. Okay, where did my chariots go real quick? All right, here comes the chariots. Now then, look, behold, four chariots, it's chapter 6, were coming, and from between the two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of bronze. Boy, there's all kinds of speculation about that. And really, I think we can ignore it and say it doesn't have anything to do with the vision. They say this mountain of bronze is this, it's this, it's a Mount of Olives, it's a Roman Empire, it's all kind of stuff. So we look at it and say, okay, it's come between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of bronze. And then we're going to go on. With the first chariot were red horses, with the second chariot black horses, with the third chariot white horses, and with the fourth chariot dapple horses. Strong steeds. Then I answered and said to the angel who talked to me, what are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said to me, these are the four spirits of heaven who go out from their station before the Lord of all the earth. The one with the black horses is going to the north country. The white are going after them, and the dapple are going towards the south country. Then the strong steeds went out eager to do what they might do. In other words, they're going to cover the world. They're going north, they're going south. Walk to and fro throughout the earth. And he said, go walk to and fro throughout the earth. So they walked to and fro throughout the earth. And he called to me and spoke to me, saying, see, those who are going towards the north country have given rest to my spirit in the north country. Now, why was God not happy with the north country to start with? Recall way back in chapter 1, something about it. What's their condition up there? They're at rest. Everything's fine. Okay, so I don't know what's happening, but they're going to give God's spirit rest in the north country. This probably indicates complete annihilation, complete overhaul, whatever, but God is going to do something in the north country. Same way with the south, which say, most commentators say, when now we're talking down toward Egypt that way, who is also totally opposed to Judah. Now then, I got one question for you, and you can answer this next week. All right, there's four horses. Red horse, black horse, white horse, and a dapple horse. Now then, the black and the white go north. The dapple goes south. What's red do? And we'll pose that next week. Somehow I lost that red horse. I don't know where he went. Okay, we're a little bit over time. We're going to stop right now. We'll pick up here in the last couple of, and then we're going to finish up Zechariah next week, and then get ready for our final lesson the following week. Appreciate your comments this morning. And remember, this is just, read the book. This is just picking out little tidbits, all right? By no means covers what's in the book. All right, we'll be dismissed at this time.